And stay tuned right now for those two characters of many characters, CBS Radio's Bob and Ray.
What did you say now?
I say now,
Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present
the CBS.
Right.
Yes, it's
CBS. The CBS Radio Network.
Bob, who recently graduated from the Joe Gillian Announcing School, came off very, very well.
I was underprepared for that. You know, it's many times
you
hear
that voice, Bob. It was quite extensive. I know you used up your entire GI Bill of Rights on it.
Well, what was left for my blacksmith job,
the business, that was poorly placed. A blacksmith shop in Orlando, Florida, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty
well outside of Orlando, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, as the announcer said, this is the Bob and Ray Show. And welcome here for the next quarter hour.
I didn't get time to get the usual little tidbit before our show. Usually we have a cup of coffee and a sandwich or something to tie this over to dinner.
And a little dip here with
thing.
And kind of just takes the edge off our sharp appetite. You see, usually when the show ends, Bob and I go to a very exclusive restaurant here in Midtown Manhattan, where we're met by two charming... Bob, I'm going to stop right there.
Sure, why not?
Along to the show, huh?
I thought maybe the coffee man was coming around.
Oh, maybe he is. Is the coffee man not there?
No, he is.
No. All right. Okay.
You often wonder why baseball, football, basketball, and everything are so popular in this country.
And I might say, well, because it's hard to make up a new athletic game.
I guess it is, yeah.
Biff Burns, though, will be broadcasting a fan game right here in just...
A what?
A fan. I don't know. A fan game in just a few seconds.
This is Jeff Burns broadcasting to you from this magnificent new Fenn Field here in Fargo, North Dakota, where in a very few moments the Fargo Rangers will be taking the field against the Riverside Redfoot. And seated alongside me is the inventor of the game of Fenn, Kurt Hook. Say hello to the fans, Kurt.
Hiya, fam.
Kurt has explained the refinements of the game of Fenn to me, and Kurt, if I can prevail on you for a minute, I'd like you to explain the game to our listeners.
Okay, Beth. Well, Fenn is played on a...
Well, I'm sorry, Kurt, it's too late. The Rangers and Redfoot are coming out on the field. The team captains approach the referee. And it's the Ranger captain, Bud Bascom, wrestling the referee down to the turf first. The Rangers go into the lead, 1-0.
That was an excellent bring down by Bascom, Biff. Notice how close to the Fenn flag Bascom's teammate was able to place the Fenn block because of it?
Oh, no question about it, Kurt. It was a terrific bring down.
There goes
Johnny Stolpe of the Redfoot. He picked up the Fenn block and he's off. He turns the alley and I believe, yes, he did. Folks, Johnny Stolpe has just reached the soft dirt area in the alley.
I think I told you, Biff, to keep an eye on Johnny Stolpe before the game. He's going to develop into a fine center in another year or two, and now let's see how good he is at burying the Fenn block.
And Johnny Stolpe begins to dig as the two other members of the Redfoot squad man their positions, left cover and east wing. I can't see too well from here, but Johnny Stolpe has dug a hole about 2 feet deep.
Well, he'll need three if he wants to cover the Fenn block.
And... here comes the Ranger team surging down the field. Their left cover and east wing are doing a great job carrying their front man, Captain Bascom, called the Redfoot team.
Notice how well the Rangers carried this.
And they dropped him. The left cover and east wing just dropped Bascom, and there's going to be a penalty there.
That's right. So he'll get at least 3 minutes for that infraction, Beth.
3 minutes is right. There's the referee covering the fallen Bascom with the penalty canvas. Now, he'll have to stay under the canvas for 3 minutes, but his place is taken by two Ranger substitutes who are running onto the field right now.
I think you might point out they can't do any actual playing, Biff. The two substitutes are there to see that Bascom stays under the penalty canvas.
And it's Johnny Stolpe He just finished digging in the soft dirt area, and he's placing the fin block in the hole.
Without it, come the Rangers.
And the question is, can Johnny Stroke cover the fin block with dirt and stamp it smooth before the Rangers get there?
He just might.
And he does. He does it. Johnny Stroke finishes stamping the dirt smooth just as the Rangers converge on the area and start looking for the fin block.
Going to be tough to find, Beth. Johnny Stroke did a great job of smoothing out the dirt.
The Rangers have 11, 12 seconds left to find it. 8, 7. I don't think they're going to find it.
It'll be close.
And the game is over. The Redfoots win 17-1 as Johnny Stroke, perhaps the finest rider in the game of fin, come through with another clutch performance.
He's just great.
And as the fans form down on the field to look for the fin block, this is Jeff Burns saying so long from this magnificent new Fin Stadium at Fargo, North Dakota.
Say, I have a note here. Dick Van Dyke wants us to say something pleasant about Funny Side Up.
Well, what's in it for him?
Well, he's taking Peter Donald's place this month. He wants to make the best showing possible, of course.
Well, what then for us?
Well, he said something pleasant about us on Funny Side Up.
Oh, yeah? What?
Well, I only heard about it indirectly. I'm not sure what. You know, though, people should listen to us. We're on in the evening, that kind of thing. And
that's all, huh?
Well, more, maybe. He might have said something about the guests, the tour of the week.
Yes, he might. Okay, then Funny Side Up might be a very funny show, and it might be on CBS Radio every weekday. Dick Van Dyke might be a very funny guy, and Pat Carroll, Parker Finley, and Kenny Del Mar might...
Okay, all right, you made your point.
I might have it that, I guess.
Welcome to the Perils of Fall. Namely, Special Agent Paul Delmonico and his faithful sidekick, Apprentice Special Agent Andy Chesney. An adventurous pair whose charmed lives defy the imagination. As you'll remember, last week's episode ended with Dr. Grenzauer and his henchmen finding Paul and Andy and shoving them into a steamer trunk. Then the infamous doctor and his henchmen deposited the trunk in a jungle hut and set off a small but efficient atom bomb. We begin today's episode with last week's explosion.
I'm okay. I guess Dr. Grenzauer and his henchmen didn't know it, but locking us inside this steamer trunk saved our lives. It protected us from the atomic blast. Now to get out of this trunk.
Yeah.
Now for Dr. Grenzauer, right, Paul?
Okay, Andy. Well, I figure Dr. Grenzauer and his henchmen are well on their way to Montgambo by now. En route to the jungle laboratory of Professor Sterling.
Hey, look out, Paul. It's an elephant stampede.
Get out, Andy.
Hit the ground. Paul. Paul.
I'm all right, Andy. How about you?
I think I'll live.
Lucky for us, it's the lead elephant trip since fell down. His great body provided us with a sheltered area to hide behind. All right, let's make tracks for Montgambo, Andy.
Right, Paul.
We mustn't let Dr. Grenzauer reach the jungle laboratory of Professor Stilling before we do.
But Dr. Grenzauer and his henchmen have at least an hour's start on us. We'll never catch them.
Look, Andy. The Lord Denison waterfall. A drop of 700 feet. If we get down there in a hurry, we could cut Dr. Grenzauer off. What do you say, Andy? Do we do it?
Well, it's one chance in a million. That's good enough for me. But how are we going to do it, Paul?
Well, I've always found, Andy, the best way to do a thing is to do it. Let's go.
All right. Paul, did you make it all right?
I did okay. Andy, it's lucky for us that those natives were stretching animal hides on a frame at the foot of the waterfall at this time of day.
That's right. They broke our fall and far away saved our lives.
Yeah. Let's get to shore. All right, you two, stay where you are. My men have you covered.
Dr. Grimshaw.
That's right. We've been waiting for you, and this time you won't escape.
What are you going to do with us, Dr. Grimshaw?
All right, men, tie them to the tree.
You'll never polish us off, Dr. Grimshaw.
Oh, no? All right, men, put on your gas mask.
Oh, you mean thing, you.
Release the poison gas.
You'll never get Professor Sterling's secret.
Now bring up the machine gun and train it on them. Carl, spread some broken glass around the foot of the tree.
We'll be seeing you, Dr. Grimshaw.
Fire!
Special Agent Paul Delmonico and his faithful sidekick, Apprentice Special Agent Andy Chesney, tied to a tree, choking on poison gas, being fired at by a machine gunner, facing the extra deadly hazard of broken glass. Will they get out of this uncomfortable spot? Tune in next week's episode, The Valley of the Flaming Torch, to hear more about the perils of Paul. This has been a Messy production.
Wilson's having another one with Laurel, huh?
About time.
Hey, friends, we have made another mistake.
Oh, gee whiz, I was hoping you would mention that. Yes, 2 months ago, you'll remember, we selected the winner of the Bob and Ray 25 Words or Less contest.
And you'll remember it was Mrs. Dolores Prophet of Shag Falls, Vermont.
The first prize being a tropical fish and a fish tank to go along with it.
Well, we called a tropical fish dealer immediately and had the prize sent out to Mrs. Prophet. As far as we were concerned, the matter was closed.
Well, that's what we thought. But last week, we got a call from the tropical fish supplier, and he asked how Mrs. Prophet was enjoying the shark that he'd sent her.
Naturally, we were shocked.
It didn't make one bit of difference to us when the dealer explained that he supplied tropical fish to aquariums, never sold any fish that ran under 4 feet in length.
Needless to say, our hearts went out to Mrs. Dolores Prophet up there in Shag Falls, Vermont.
First, we thought of going to Shag Falls to remove the shark from her home.
That idea was ruled out when someone told us it was a dangerous undertaking.
And we thought of sending Mrs. Prophet a letter explaining that we'd be quite willing to mail her another gift in exchange for the shark.
But how would she get the shark out of the tank?
Finally, we decided on this idea to help Mrs. Prophet with her problem. We've sent her a letter asking her to send us a letter explaining in 25 words or less how things might be made easier for her with a shark in her home.
That was about the only thing we could do.
So far, we haven't received a reply from Mrs. Prophet.
So until the matter is straightened out, all we can do is give Mrs. Prophet some belated advice in the hope that she's listening right now.
Right. Now, Mrs. Prophet, I don't know how you're feeding that fellow you've got there, or if indeed you're feeding him at all, but if you are, put the food at the end of a 10-foot pole.
I understand, Mrs. Prophet, that whacking a shark's nose with an oar takes a good deal of the fight out of him.
I wouldn't keep any meat in the house, Mrs. Prophet. It just gets a shark very, very mad when he can't have it.
Don't let any of the neighborhood children sail boats in his tank.
Also, Mrs. Prophet, you might try feeding him 40 pounds of candy a day and hope that in a year or so, his teeth will start falling out.
Whatever you do, Mrs. Prophet, don't stand in front of the tank and make fun of him.
So hurry and get your entry in, Mrs. Prophet. Write to Haphazard CBS Radio, New York City.
We'll have the writer to get work bid in just 10 seconds.
And that's it for now. Until tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write it to your work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumb.
Joe Buzz, once over delightfully. The Mitch Miller Show, Sundays on the CBS Radio Network.
To the editor.